This is First Draft on Aspen Public Radio. I'm Mitzi Rapkin. Just with writing, not everything from an interview makes it into the final show, so here are some outtakes from this first draft. My guest is Kirsten Valdez-Quaid, author of the short story collection, Night at the Fiestas. So tell me a little bit just about, you know, where you grew up and maybe a little bit about what your family was like and then how you got into writing.
Sure. So my mother's family has been in northern New Mexico for hundreds of years since the Spanish conquistadors. And I was born in Albuquerque and was very, very close to my great-grandmother when I was a young child and continue to be very close to my grandparents and older relatives. And I always listen to their stories and ask them nosy questions about their lives. And I was always very, very interested in their childhood. And as a result, I've always felt very connected to northern New Mexico and to that history. So when I was a child, we moved away. My dad's a geologist, and he studies desert geology. So we moved all over mostly the American Southwest. We lived also in Australia for a couple years, and we always followed him on his field work. So I spent a lot of time living out of tents or trailers or our Volkswagen van. We lived in a lot of rentals. So it was really sort of an itinerant childhood. I went to a lot of schools and then, you know, would be there a couple months and then leave those schools. So I developed this connection to this sort of deep sense of Santa Fe and northern New Mexico as my home, and really missed it and longed for it. It was this place that I had left, and we returned to it always, you know, over breaks, and, you know, sometimes if my parents were overseas, my sister and I would stay with my grandmother, you know, for several months at a time. So I spent a lot of time there, but I was both of the place and not of the place anymore. And I think that sort of fueled a lot, continues to fuel a lot of my fiction, but that sort of longing for a place.
I want to talk a little bit more specifically about the five wounds, this story that you've been mentioning. So the main character, Amadeo Padilla, is going to be in a passion play, and he's going to play Jesus, and he's the atypical sort of looking Jesus. I mean, not just that he's the deadbeat dad, but he sort of has a pockmarked face, and he drinks too much, and he is practicing, and he really wants to take this personification of Jesus to the highest level. And there's been another man in town who years earlier had asked when he played Jesus if they would actually put the five nails in. And he's going to rise to that occasion again. And then in the midst of him preparing for this, his pregnant young daughter, teenage daughter, returns, who he abandoned years and years earlier. And so that's sort of the tension in his life becomes the presence of his teenage daughter, who sort of questions him and makes him think more about what he's doing. And he's trying to push her away, and she's not having it. She's just kind of in his life and making herself known. And then towards the end, when he's practicing for this, she ends up coming to watch this ceremony, and women are not allowed, but she goes in anyway. And so he's faced with this extreme level that he wants to take this ceremony to, and the daughter looking at him, the daughter, he's never really fulfilled his true role as her father.
Yeah, he sees her as a distraction. He thinks that, you know, his shot at redemption is in playing this role right, getting this role of Jesus right. And his daughter shows up, and she's distracting him from, you know, this work that he really believes his salvation depends upon. You know, really what the reader knows is that his salvation depends on his relationship with his daughter and with the other people in his family.
But he really thinks it's taken this so far that he's actually nailed to the cross.
Yeah, he, in his mind, asking for the nails, being nailed and getting, experiencing that pain is what will bring him salvation and bring him closer to God. Whereas, you know, what the reader understands fairly early on in the story is that it's only through his human connections that he will find salvation. It's only through being responsible for the other people in his life who are experiencing pain that he'll find salvation.
So how did you come up with this idea, like this tangible, physical idea of someone in this day and age wanting to actually be nailed to a cross?
Well, this is the penitentes, this brotherhood of penitentes, they exist in northern New Mexico. It's a long tradition. It goes back to, you know, to Spain, and it's been preserved in these pockets of northern New Mexico. In the early 20th century, a lot of Anglo reporters started coming to northern New Mexico and reporting on this and really speaking dismissively of these people as though they're, you know, zealots and freaks who, you know, these people who worship in this way. And so the practice sort of went underground for a long time, but still persisted. And it's not a practice that I am personally a part of, but I've always found it extraordinarily moving. I mean, as a way of worshiping, it seems to me to be coming the closest, it seems to me to be the closest thing to empathy. Trying to feel what Christ went through. So I've always found it as a practice to be just really, really moving. But I also wanted to understand it more. So I tried writing a story about penitentes for probably 2 years. I made, you know, various starts that didn't work out, and I couldn't find my way into those stories. And it wasn't until I think I reread The Power and the Glory, which is one of my very favorite books, Graham Greene's novel. And in it, there's this whiskey priest who is, you know, a bad priest. He's fathered a child. He's an alcoholic. And yet he's also sort of the hero of the book, despite having sinned in, you know, a number of ways and let down his congregation in a number of ways. It wasn't until I thought of my protagonist, this man who's playing Jesus, as being a person with these really obvious failings that I could find my way into the story.
Well, at the end, you know, when he's really face to face with his daughter and she's really upset by what he's doing, and he's, you know, about to go through this. I mean, do you think that he found what he was looking for? Do you think he found either the connection with his daughter or the empathy for her or that connection? I mean, obviously she's pregnant. She's in pain. She's not with her mother. She's in a fight with her mother. And she's come to this man who hasn't been very good to her for kind of her own salvation as well. I mean, what do you think they find at the end, these two?
I think Amadeo does end up seeing his daughter and understanding what his responsibility is for her. I think it's too bad that he had to go through the anguish and the pain to get there, but I think that's often in life how we change. We experience pain and then have to change our lives. So to me, it is a hopeful ending. I'd like to think that their story goes on from there. and that Amadeo is more aware of his responsibility toward his daughter, and that there is a hope for a real connection between them. So to me, it's a happy ending. I don't think it's unreservedly happy. I mean, I think that the realization that he has in that moment will probably, you know, blink in and out of view for him. I think he won't always have that. He hasn't changed completely. I think it's a lesson he'll have to learn and relearn, as we all do.